Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Today, we're going to talk about having breakout faith. Isaiah chapter 35, stand up on your feet if you're able to. We do that in honor of God's word. And again, if you're not able to stand, then just stand up on the inside. Isaiah chapter 35, reading from the New King James this morning, verse 1 through 4, just four verses of scripture. Are you ready? Let's go. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and bloom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Would you say that? Be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did in the first service, and thank you now what you'll do in the second. I pray that you would give us living understanding, that you would come. It would not just be an exercise of our intellect and just learning like a lecture. There would be living power and truth imparted into your people in this hour of history. We need you like never before. We need a breakout in our nation. We need a breakout in our family. We need a breakout in our state. We need a breakout in the nations of the world. And we thank you that you're going to do just that through this prophetic text in Jesus' name. Release, even as I preach, breakout faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to the person right and left and say, you're going to break out in faith. Come on. And you may be seated. If you could listen to and internalize and actuate what I teach and preach to you today, the problem, the trial, the difficulty that you're facing today will eventually turn and you'll never see that kind of problem again. God is going to release his power upon you today and it's going to change your life. You might feel like you're in a wasted place. You might be concerned or even fearful over our nation. I'm telling you, God is on the throne and he's ever moving in great power. This is a continuation of the State of the Church address. Writing your notes, S-O-T-C-A. As the president would preach the State of the Union address, Dr. Morocco over here preaches the State of the Church address, and we've shared that already, and the word of the Lord is breakout. From the video that you saw in introduction before I came up to preach to you, it was a lot of text found in Isaiah 35. So I've taken Isaiah 35 today, and we read four verses, and something that's just like a banner is this discussion of fear and how there's those that are fearful. And fear can be, well, it's multifaceted. Fear can be good or bad. Everybody say that. Fear can be good or bad. You said, is there a good kind of fear? Yeah, the fear of the Lord, that's a good kind of fear. We've preached on that before. Proverbs 29, this is the bad kind of fear. Verse 25, fear of man will prove to be a snare. Whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. If you trust in man, it'll be like a trap. It'll be like a snare. In Matthew chapter 10, understanding that we're called to fear God, not man. There's good kind of fear, bad kind of fear. Matthew 10 and 28, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear can be a protective mechanism. Fight or flight. Raise your hand if you heard of fight or flight. The term fight or flight was coined by Walter Cannon, a doctor and a psychologist, in 1915. And it's a term that's used over a complex set of reactions within the physical body. When people become fearful, even afraid of their life, it can release fight or flight as a response. And how many of you ever had that experience? I remember my son, when he's scared, he throws hands. That's a fighter. How many of you know what throwing hands is? When he gets startled, his fists come up. Those are the kind of people you do not want to scare. Fear can immobilize you, or fear can save your life. There's various words for fear: anxiety, dread, worry, various causes of fear. I want you to say this: faith gets everything, fear and doubt gets nothing. Say that. Faith gets everything, fear and doubt gets nada in Spanish. Say it one more time. Faith gets, fear and doubt gets. So ask yourself this question: what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Do you know how to overcome fear? Because if you don't know how to overcome, you don't learn how to overcome fear, if I can't disciple you in such a way that you could break out of fear, you will never see the desert bloom. You will never see the waters and the streams in the desert. You will not see the promises found here in Isaiah 35 if you're crippled by fear, overwhelmed by anxiety, if you're crippled by doubt. You have to break out. Come on. There's a breakout of faith that releases a termination of fear. This text is understanding that the context of it. There's a reason that they're afraid in Isaiah 35. And Isaiah is preaching at a tumultuous period, historical, social, and theological context. Look at the text and understanding what's happening. It's very important when you study God's word that you frame God's word to understand the context of what's happening, who's writing it, who's he writing it to, what is the Spirit of God saying to the people that are listening to it in the day of Isaiah. And this is a double fulfillment, maybe even triple fulfillment prophecy, which I'll talk about in a little bit. The reason the people were afraid, they had a good reason to be afraid. The Assyrian threat, Assyria had just wiped out the northern tribes. And so now, you know, 722 BC, the northern tribes are wiped out and dispersed. It's called the diaspora. So Israel, 12 tribes, how many? 12 tribes. So 10 of them are basically wiped out and thrown all over, dispersed, never to be seen from again. They're coming back to Israel as we speak. It's a modern phenomena, a sign and a wonder of the end times, and a fulfillment of prophecy. They're returning from every nation. They called it Aliyah, and being gathered in a nation that was made in a day. Can a nation be made in a day? Israel, yes. So now they're concerned about Assyria. There's instability, political instability. Threats from Egypt, threats from Assyria, Babylon, all kinds of problems. They're afraid. Judah's afraid. And Isaiah is prophesying to people that are filled with fear. You know, it's amazing. As I was studying this, it seems exactly like the day in which we're living. People concerned about China attacking us. We should be. Concerned about North Korea. Concerned about terror cells coming across the southern border, and we should be. Over 7 million people have come across the border illegally. I'm not against immigrants. I am one. Generations ago. Raise your hand if you came from immigrants. Welcome to America. Touch your nose for a second. Is it cold? You're a mutt. You're an American. We all come from somewhere, most of us. There are indigenous people here, certainly, that were here first, and before them was God. Even in Alaska, even all Native Alaskans are immigrants. How do you figure that? They came across the land bridge. That's what they figure. Came into Point Hope. I don't know if that's the Mongols or what. I mean, you could just study all that. So we're not against migrants, we're against illegal migrants, and we're certainly against people who want to kill us. Can you say a better amen? There's political instability in Isaiah's day. That's not just that. There's spiritual apostasy. Apostasy is a term that was used for a defector. It's a military term. Someone who's in the military and they run away. They're considered apostate. So spiritual apostasy is those who would believe in the Lord and follow after God, but then they would turn and no longer follow after him. And Israel is filled with people who are not serving God. He's not the one that they look to. They worship idols. There's immorality. There's spiritual decay. And prophetic warnings of judgment that are coming. Wow. The theological context of Isaiah is that he spoke to those conditions and he gave these prophetic promises that would bring hope. And this is a profound one. Encouragement against fear. So that's the context of Isaiah. The solution for the fear in Judah is this prophetic word. And of course others, Assyrian deliverance. He prophesies that there's going to come deliverance. And they knew what they were talking about Assyria. Now that comes 20-something years later, in 701, Assyria attacks, and God does a miracle. You can read it in Isaiah 37. That's where that one angel come and destroys 185,000 of the enemy. One angel, not a band of angels, not an army of angels, just one. Just one. Lord, send all your angels. He don't need to send all his angels. One is good. And one angel in the last day will take a chain and wrap it around the ugly one, the father of lies, Satan, and throw him in the lake of fire. Just one. It's not going to take a band of angels to wrap him up. Just one angel. So there's Assyrian deliverance, and there's this call to reformation. And Isaiah 35, verse 8, now we didn't read that, we've read it at other times, but it's this transformation from judgment to blessing. Somebody said, well, God's going to judge America. Sure, he's going to judge every nation. He's going to judge you too. But be careful for calling for God's judgment where you live here. And if we haven't been wiped off the planet, it's because of God's mercy. So pray for mercy and let him evaluate your life now. And you be responsible for your family, for your marriage, for your kids. You lead a godly life. Amen. Our nation will turn one family at a time. One soul at a time. So it's this call to reformation. He's saying to Judah, don't be afraid. I'm going to bring you through. The desert's going to bloom. And he goes on to say, the blind will see and the deaf will hear. It's a prophetic declaration of deliverance for Judah, which God does. At this period of time, they get wiped out after that because they sin. And they turn from him again. It's a call to reformation, and it's also this incredible messianic hope. This prophecies, the eyes of the blind will be open, Isaiah 35, 5, finds fulfillment in the ministry of our hero, my friend, Jesus. And you see in Matthew chapter 11, and let me give you the context, Matthew 11, here's what's happening. So the burning, shining lamp, John the Baptist, is in prison, and Herod's going to remove his head from his shoulders, and he's going to die. He said earlier, I must decrease, he, talking of the Lord, must increase. And so John the Baptist is in prison. Now, I've heard this preached a number of different ways. He's in prison and he's backslidden. He lost his faith because why would he send his two disciples to ask Jesus? Matthew chapter 11, we'll read it in a moment. This is the answer of Jesus to the disciples. These two that come from John the Baptist. And they say, hey, John sent us to find out if you're the one. Now, some say John the Baptist is backslidden. I don't think so. He's not a reed. He's a burning, shining lamp, unusual guy. Ate locusts and honey, wore a loincloth. Very unusual. Prophetic fulfillment of the book of Malachi, the one crying out in the desert. And just as what Jesus says to John's disciples, go back and report to John. This is Matthew 11, 4 through 6 on the screen. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. He literally quotes Isaiah 35. So when he quotes Isaiah 35, as we have this bird's eye view and we have Isaiah and we're reading this prophetic hope, this messianic hope, Jesus is basically saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the promised one. I'm the fulfillment of Isaiah 35. So profound. Wow. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, which refers to the highway of holiness found in Isaiah 35. Absolutely amazing. And all of that highway ties into Revelation 21 through 22, and its immediate fulfillment takes place in the birth of Christ and his walking out his first advent or his first coming. But ultimate fulfillment happens in the end. The glorious end with a new heaven and a new earth. It's amazing. You know, prophecy is amazing. The word of God is amazing. I remember ministering at a mental hospital. And I had a Bible, and the guy says to me, hey, what is that? I said, it's a Bible. He says, yeah, I read that. I'm like, really? It's just like you read, Call of the Wild. How many times you read it? Just once? Yeah, I read it. The word of God is multifaceted. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and you could read it over. It's worthy of giving your whole life to study it, your whole life. Paul, in his very last days, calls for John Mark to bring the scroll and his favorite coat. Bring that Filson coat, and I also want the scrolls. Why would he be studying the scrolls when he's about to die? Because there's something profound about the word. So when you read this, it's a word to the people of Isaiah's day. It's a word to Israel that comes to pass, but it's also a word of fulfillment at the end when there's a new heaven and a new earth that has yet to be fully brought to fruition. But it's also a fulfillment in the messianic hope that comes in Christ. He's the Messiah. And you could call it triple. It's a word to you right now. Don't be afraid of North Korea. Don't be afraid of China. Don't be afraid of the leftists and the globalist agenda. Come on, just say to those feeble knees, buck up. You can have a breakout of faith. They said it's impossible. What do they know? You can't do that, Noah. No, there had never been a boat. You're not a professional? Yeah, no, you're not, except you're trying to obey God. There was never a boat before Noah. There was no rain. Yet God speaks to him. Oh, a preacher of righteousness. This is so profound, this text. God speaking to us in application here. God breaks out faith. And how it happens is through this declaration of the promise. There's a breakout of faith, and fear is broken, not only for them, it'll break for you. If you could get a download of faith right now, fear will break off of you. Come on, I want you to lift a hand to heaven and say, I'm gonna overcome. Come on, say the mountain can be moved. Come on, say I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, you can do it. Say I can do it. Fear is broken by faith, and you'll see that in 2 Timothy 1. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The Apostle Paul is emphasizing to Timothy, but not just to Timothy, it's to us as well, that you have power, that you've been endued, you've been imbibed with power to overcome fear and all the opposition of the enemy. You can not only make it, you're created to overcome. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You can overcome. You can conquer. You can fulfill the God-given mandate, Alaska. Alaska, you're firmly positioned, if I could quote Chuck Pierce, firmly positioned to usher in a move of the Spirit of God. And the battles are real in this ancient and pristine place, but God's hand is set towards this state. To even move into a place that brings transformation in the United States of America. I don't fully understand that, but I feel it down in my knower. I know it. Power. Everybody say power. I'm going to break this down for just a moment. Everybody say power. Power. He's not giving you fear, a spirit of fear. Now, there's good fear, bad fear. Fear of God, that's a good kind. Every other kind of fear, not the good kind. So when a bear rears itself and starts charging you, that is a good kind of fear. You want to be afraid of that. Pull your handgun out and use whatever fishing buddy you have. That's a good kind of fear. Run. Well, it all depends, actually, I guess. May I never experience that again. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, listen to this. Verse 17 on the screen as well. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And the knowledge of who? Him. See, because if you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, it changes you. When you really know who he is and you really know who you are, you will not be a sissy. Come on, somebody say amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. This is so profound. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? I mean, just think about that. If you've ever inherited something, somebody left you something in a will, and they rest in peace, you've inherited something. What does God inherit? What does the creator of the universe inherit? What is the universes? What does he inherit? He inherits you. That's how special you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're special. And turn to your other neighbor and say, you're more specialer than you think. What could God possibly get? He gets you. He gets me. That is absolutely amazing. And what is he, look at verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and the power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. His power is so great, he exceeds his own greatness. And that power works in you. Well, I don't feel like it does. That's your problem. You need to be illuminated. You need to be awakened to the reality of resurrection working on the... Come on! You can make it. You're not some dirt bag to go in the back and eat worms in the back of your house and hope that Jesus comes and rescues you. You're supposed to take over. You're supposed to exercise his authority. You're supposed to reach the lost at any cost. We're supposed to rule and reign. And we will in the end with him. This is practice, though. My God, come on, somebody say, I have power. Mighty power exerted in Christ. That's it. Come on, resurrection power is in me. Wow. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, sound mind, love. Love of God will sweep through the valley of the human heart, climb to the highest walls of doubt. It lights up the darkest corners of despair. Love will hunt down and kill fear. If you just embrace the love of God, it'll destroy fear. You, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your heavenly Father would give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. He's not a loving slave owner. He is love. He's the very definition of love. He's agape love, unconditional love. He loves you the same, but he does have intimate ones. It doesn't mean you could just do whatever you want to. Years ago, my beautiful daughter, who's now directing our marketing for the church worldwide, so proud of her. Years ago, she was in a sandbox. I had some ice cream that we had gotten from the Good Humor or wherever we got it. I don't remember details. Ask Pastor Karen. And she had eaten a bunch of sand. So she's got a bunch of sand in her mouth. There I am with the ice cream cone. Look, it even looks like one. And I see she's like, ah! I'm like, oh! She's like, ah! I'm like, no! And whatever she did, she cried. We had to pick her up. Who would give their child an ice cream cone when their mouth is full of silica? No, we're going to wash that out. See, God wants to give you everything in the kingdom. He wants to just bless you with it, but some of your mouths are filled with sand. A loving father, a loving mother is not going to go, oh, well, just go ahead. Just have your ice cream and have the sand as well. I don't know where that sand has been. The love of God will sweep through and bring deliverance. And oh, God loves you so much, he'll confront you. God loves you so much, he'll rebuke you. He'll correct you. Am I the only one that got corrected this week? I hope not, because if you haven't been corrected, that would mean then you're probably illegitimate. There's another word for that. Sound mind, also self-discipline. Come on, I want you to declare, I have a sound mind. Let's try the whole thing. Say, I have power. I have love. I have a sound mind. I quoted this scripture when I didn't feel like it, and I had no self-discipline. Self-control is another way of saying that. I had none, or very little. I'd yielded to my flesh. When talking, 30 plus years ago, I'm now a man of self-discipline. I have self-control. You know, recently, Amazon, well, nothing recent about Amazon. My God, they show up at my house every other day, I think, but we have many of the, I don't know, for whatever reason, we receive shipping from the church before the church gets it. So if we need something in a rush, it'll come to my house before it can come here. Go figure. So oftentimes there's boxes and different things for different teams and ministries and so on and so forth. So a box showed up and it had my name on it. I opened it up and it was a cold plunge. Anybody know what a cold plunge is? Well, I was so excited about it. I'm like, oh yeah, oh no. I was like, yes, ooh, no. Cold plunge is where you get in a tank with 32 degree water. While they say, there's different opinions on the temperature, and you sit in it for 3 to 4 minutes, as much as long as 10 minutes, and it releases all kinds of blessings by doing it. Although it sure doesn't feel like a blessing. So I just did my third cold plunge this morning. I found something happening in doing that. I don't know, during the week, I'm come home for lunch and eat some lunch, and I'll peer outside and look at it. Yeah, what's up? No, it's intense, man. So this morning is, I'm on a day, off a day, on a day, off. So yesterday was a day off, thank you, Jesus. But today's an on day, and I'm gonna do 4 minutes in that thing. And let me just tell you, I'm like, I've not given a spirit of fear. Ha 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 ha. I got self discipline. I can get in that tank. I have dominion over the water. I'm going to get in the tank. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it's doing something for me. I can't quite tell you what it is. I'm not telling everybody to go get a cold plunge. I would advise against it on one hand. And I would just have to speak to my flesh. So this morning was, it was a little bit harder than the other days for whatever reason. Family's up, the coffee's already made. It's just French roast is filling the house. And I'm on a schedule and I've got my watch at 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, and I just hear the encouragement of the Lord, just do it, don't think, don't think. Sometimes your mind can be a carnal mind is an enmity with the Lord. I set it at 5 minutes and it's counting down. 4 minutes, 45 seconds. At 4 minutes, I got to be in the tank. And so I'm like, I got 45 minutes to scramble. 45 seconds, pardon me. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Okay, easy. Oh, Lord. 5:30, it's going to just about to 4 minutes. As soon as it goes to 4 minutes, I got to be in the tank. I got 15 seconds. That's it. Get outside. Don't think, just do it. I'm outside. I'm standing out there in my swim shorts. Pop the lid. 5 seconds. In the name of Jesus, get in the thing. And I call on the Lord for 4 minutes. You'd be surprised what you can do when you push away fear. You'd be surprised. I just like it because it's like, who would normally do that? And it's supposed to have benefits, and I hope to God it does. Faith is breaking out among us. Faith is breaking out. I want you to say that. Faith is, it is. I have never in all my life, and I said this about a year ago, but this is more than a year ago. Never in all my life have I seen so much answer to prayer. It's almost like when we think about something and say, Lord, he just seems to do it. Breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. People starting businesses and prospering. People's businesses growing. People getting wisdom regarding children, regarding marriage, regarding everything. I mean, you name it. People that are releasing faith are having breakthrough like never before. You need that. I need that. We need that. That's the way it should be. We should be a people that walk in great power and demonstration of answered prayer. You know, the beautiful thing, one of the many beautiful things about this building is it says that God can do anything. In this little corner of Wasilla where banks laughed at us, they didn't know. I can't blame them. And the natural, of course, they won't even loan you any more than $5 million here. Talk to anybody who's been build a hotel. Banks won't loan you the money in Alaska. You got to go to Seattle. You got to go somewhere else. And in our case, God did a miraculous way of funding our property through our giving, of course, but also through supernatural favor outside of the state of Alaska. It was interesting when we started the project, we had our contractor. One of them called and said, so how's it going? I'm like, it's good. How are you doing? And the Lord's like, that's pride. I'm like, God, Jesus, help me. I've repented already. Faith is breaking out. There's personal transformation. More Muslims are coming to Christ. More Muslims came to Christ in the month of Ramadan than you could possibly understand. You talk to people that are missionaries in these countries, and they said, Jesus is literally appearing to them. He's literally appearing in their dreams. You say, well, I thought angels can't preach the gospel. They can't, but Jesus can. So if Jesus shows up in a dream, he can preach to you himself. And he's doing that, a man in white, coming and talking to them and telling them, believe on me. And then giving them directions to find a missionary. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. All right. Confront your fear by allowing God to break out. Let me just give this to you. Prayer and the decree of promise. This is how you break out of fear and break into the promise. This is how you break out into the abundance of God. How you break out into the will of God and don't let fear grip you. This is how you do it. Prayer and the decree of the promise. It says in Job 22 and verse 28, you'll also declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. This verse, Job, is suggesting that there's power in the spoken word, and you'll see it throughout all the Old Testament as well as in the New. There's power in your words. James talks about that. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Some of you speak in death over yourself all the time. Can't make it, can't do it. I can't do that, really. Well, then you're right. You can prophesy over you. You're right. Whatever wants to come out of your mouth, it might not be biblically correct, but whatever's coming out of your mouth is going to line you. You're the prophet over your own life. Stop saying you can. Saying I can with God's help. Say I can do it. I can get in the cold tank. No, you don't have to say it. The power of prayer. Prayer is not some ritual thing that we do, but a powerful weapon for the righteous. It has great efficacy bringing about change. Prayer and the decree, decreeing God's word. Listen to Matthew 21 and 22. And whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing you will receive it. Faith receives everything. Fear, doubt, unbelief, nada. 1 John 5 and 14. Now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to his will is the key. Confidence. But it's not just a confidence aligned particularly with the will of God. Well, how do you know what the will of God is? It's in the word. It's right here. Or by revelation that lines up with the word. Come on, there's certain things that I was talking to, I think it was Susie, Principal Susie. And we're talking about the school. There's so much, again, of the fingerprint of God on it that it really releases faith. When miraculous things happen and you're at the right place at the right time and things just supernaturally take place as you're praying, it's an evidence, it's fruit of your faith. We don't need to pray for this building anymore. We're in it. When you see it and it's manifested, you don't need faith anymore. Now we have faith to pay it off. Can you say amen? But it's praying the will of God, knowing what God's will is, aligned with His will. Decreeing and prayer is not aligning with your will, it's aligning with His will. John 14, 13, and whatever you ask in my name, there it is, in my name's character, everything that that means, His will, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Come on, say, I'm going to ask things in His name. I'm going to ask things in His name, and He's going to do it. It's a declaration of His word, a declaration of His prophetic promises, authoritative, a declaration. It's not whimsical and cute. Told my dog, sometimes my dog doesn't listen to my decrees, other times it does really well. I said, sit down. I'm not like, oh, please sit. No, sit. Good boy. It's a declaration. Some of you are tolerating things that Jesus was crucified and rose again from the grave for. Quit tolerating them and drive them out of your house. Drive them out of your mind. Through declaration, my whole family will be saved. On my mother's side, on my father's side, every single person, it is your will, save every single person in my family on both bloodlines in Jesus' name. If you agree that for your family, say amen. Amen. And start speaking it, start declaring it. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender, not the borrower. Let me say it this way. The power of prayer and the decrees is not inherent in the words. It's not magic. It's not the words themselves, but it's God who promises to hear and act according to His goodwill. The power of the prayer is, it's not in the words themselves. It's God's agreement with your agreement with Him, releasing His power in the earth. You got to get that. You are unstoppable when you pray the will of God. When you move in the will of God, when you act on God's word, faith is acting on God's word. If you want to see a release of God's power, you're going to have faith. You want to see the desert bloom? You have to have faith. Put this up on the screen, please. The power of prayer and decrees is not inherent in the words themselves, but in the God who promises to hear and act according to His good and perfect will. Understand that. Take a good look at that. When you get in alignment with what His word is, and you get in alignment with what His will is, and you are cleansed by the blood, you boldly come before Him, and you say, in the name of Jesus, release, bam, it happens. So, well, it didn't happen last time. Well, you quit, that's why. Don't quit. Don't let up. Come on, somebody say, don't stop. So it's not just the power of the prayer and the decree of the promise. Talk about how to break out of faith, how to have breakout faith to see things change. It's also, number two, have fellowship with champions. Hang out with people that win. You know, I wasn't going to go to Washington, D.C., for a number of different reasons that apparently didn't make sense to the Lord, because I got rebuked after I made the decision. I don't know why. Sometimes I can't hear Him in the midst of it. Then when I get alone to pray, He's like, why'd you do that? I'm like, oops, am I the only one? So I closed the door. I wasn't going to Washington, D.C. I felt like I just needed to stay here. I prayed, and I just felt like honestly, I was offended. I won't go into all of that, but I learned I learned that lesson. Hopefully, I've learned it finally now. I've learned it a few times. But I don't think I learned it. You can take up someone else's offense. And so I was offended, and I was just dealing with that. And so at night, the Lord said, you need to go. I said, well, Lord, I closed the door. He said, that's okay. You purpose to go and obey me, and I'll take care of it. I mean, that's what I felt in my spirit. The next day, door's closed. I'm not going. I'm sitting at my desk. Lord, you're going to have to open that door. Ding! Literally, my phone goes off, and they say, we need your leadership. Please, won't you reconsider? I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. And so I go to D.C. tonight. I go to D.C. tonight to talk with 250 other pastors from across the nation to contend on behalf of Israel with CUFI, Christians United for Israel. I'm humbled by that. One of the great things that's going to happen is I'm going to be walking and fellowshipping with some of the greatest men of God across America. And you say, is that significant? Yes. Because bad company corrupts good character. But what happens to good company? The same thing is true. You get near somebody who's anointed. You get near somebody who's walked longer and accomplished things for the kingdom of God. It gets on you. It gets on you. Literally, just like when you hang out with someone that's dumb, I mean morally, you hang out with people that are stupid. Stupid gets on you. Come on, shake yourself. See, what about them? We need to minister to everybody, don't we? Absolutely. But even Jesus had Peter, James, and John. He had them on the places of tremendous significance. Not all disciples were super close. Some of you have people that are close to you. You need them like a hole in your foot. You love them, but distance yourself. It's called boundaries. Not everybody deserves to be close to you. And if you haven't figured that out, you will soon. You fellowship with champions. And when you do that, there's impartation that comes. I love the story of Dr. Morocco as I'm bringing this to a landing. Can I have keys, please? This gentleman comes in our church and he says to Dr. Morocco, hey, I want to be your best friend. And Dr. Morocco says, that's fantastic. Praise God. He's like, so when can we hang out? He says, a morning prayer tomorrow morning. Oh, 5:30 in the morning. Come, we'll hang out in prayer. Guy's like, oh, okay. Well, I don't think he ever came. I learned a lesson about that. We don't just hang out. Now I'm into drinking a cup of espresso for no longer than 45 minutes, and then I gotta go. I've got limitations on when how much time I spend where, except for Pastor Karen. She gets the undivided. Not enough as we need to, but it's important. I just got so convicted. And get so busy. When you fellowship with champions, if I spend time with my wife, which I do, of course, but we need to take a trip, take a few days. We'll do that. When I spend time with her, I come out of that time just like, ah, oh, she believes that I could charge hell with a water pistol and win. She calls me her action hero. Come on. What's up? You hang out with people that believe you can do it and tell you can do it. Pastor Karen's one of my greatest encouragers. Oh, that was a great message. Or I get rebuked, either one. But I'm grateful for the rebuke. You hang out with people that tell you, that's why it's good to be in a service like this. You get encouraged, you're getting strengthened. You're like, man, I can have breakout faith. I don't have to yield to fear. My whole family's getting saved. God's moving the mountain. Oh, there's streams in the desert. He makes a wilderness a pool. Hey, I don't have to be afraid of North Korea or China. I can just position myself in faith and make a prayer decree. Come on, my whole family's coming in. God's turning the tide. God's bringing revival. Oh, I'm in the greatest state of the union. God's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I mean, you could go on and on and on and plug in all those scriptures. If you hang out with people that speak life, you will have life. Hang out with champions. Some of you need to distance yourself from people that are sucking the blood out of your neck. Yes, you clothe the naked. Please don't mishear me. Clothe the naked, you feed the hungry, yes. But they're not on the inside. They're not super close. And you have to understand that when it's time to distance and recharge yourself. Jesus would go away in a dark, and he would go away when it's yet dark. In the morning, he'd go away, have prayer time. He'd get communion with the Father. All right. Grow in the Word, look at 3. Talking about how to have breakout faith, having breakout faith. Prayer and the decree, very important. Hanging out with champions, you need to be with people that are going somewhere. I didn't say leave the others behind. Of course not. We were the ones that were left behind. Anybody else besides me? Thank God for people that reached to us. Don't hear me. Don't mishear me. Grow in the Word. growing in the Word, it's the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. The more you grow in Him, the more your faith will grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But in Romans 12 and 2, and don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind gets renewed. You need to change the way you think. You need to get rid of your stinking thinking. And then you won't say, I can. You say, I can do all things. You won't say, oh, I'm a loser, because that's not true. God doesn't make junk. Oh, your parents might not have planned you, but God did. You start speaking life over your circumstances, life over your family, life over your finances, life over your business, life over your church. You start speaking life. You can make it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Being what? Transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The more you behold God, the more you understand about God, the more you'll become like Him. Oh my. 2 Peter 1. As His divine power, verse 3, has given to us all things that pertain to life in godliness through the knowledge of Him. The more you grow in the knowledge of God, the more virtue and power and anointing you'll walk in. But some of you do not open this until you're in church. You're not in the Word during the day. You miss the quiet time. God wants to meet you in the quiet time you never have. And by the way, it doesn't need to be quiet. My quiet time's not so quiet sometimes. Does that make sense? The more you grow in God, the stronger you will get. You'll become more and more like Him. Oh, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1:3-4. By which He has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Growing in the knowledge of God is tied directly to release of God's power in your life. And yet so many people don't read it, don't study it. Let me say that again. Growing in the Word, learning the Word, memorizing the Word, Psalm 119, I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That scripture of the Old Testament ties to the understanding. The more Word you have in you, the more virtue and glory you'll live. And it is relating to character, yes, but it's also related to power. It's not your supernatural power, it's His supernatural power flowing through you. Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. How do you get renewed in the knowledge? The Word. Concept of the new man, profound. James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word. Wow. Which is able to save your souls. Implanted refers to the Word of God taking root in a person's life. The Word that you have in you will come alive, is sharper than any two-edged sword, living and active. When you go through difficulty, the Word ought to be coming up, encouraging you. It's hard to go look for a verse. I mean, do that. You can do that. Whatever obstacle you face, there's a verse to defeat it. That's Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even between division of soul and spirit. Not reading to you at the Encyclopedia Britannica. This is not the Reader's Digest. It's the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. His Word will remain, will endure forever. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. So listen, how do you get sanctified, set apart? The Word, because His Word is truth. And then there's Psalm 119, which I quoted. Your Word I have hidden in my heart, verse 11, that I might not sin against you. Penultimately, be filled with the Spirit. Talk about how to have a breakout faith. Are you getting something today? What do you do after that? Repeat 1-4. Do it again and again and again and again. There's something that happens when we release a decree and the power of the decree in prayer. When you know God's will and you make that decree according to Scripture and you line up and you've been living right before Him and you make that declarative prayer, authoritative decree, I have found there's something that happens in my spirit when it hits. There's a contending where you just keep going, keep speaking it, keep declaring it. You press in, you pray through. There's a lot of terminology for that. But then something happens, an inner witness, it would be called in Scripture. I call it like a bell that rings, where I prayed and I declared, and then it's just like, ding! And then it's like, yeah! And then it's just time to rejoice, and we see the manifestation of it days later, weeks later, but you know it's over. God has placed you at this time in history to be a world changer. You start with your own family, you start with your own life, yes, and you, at simultaneously, you get involved in helping others do the same thing. We can change the world. Can anything good come from Alaska? Yes, everything good can come from Alaska. Wasilla, from Barrow, from Point Hope, wherever you are. Can anything good come from the Philippines? We've got 86 churches in the Philippines online. Can anything good come? Yes. God is looking to make you and to fashion you into His very image and likeness through your character, through your behavior, through Christ-likeness. We don't need more religion. We need the kingdom of God, and we need to put them on display. Power. Come on, somebody say power. Say the desert's blooming. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. I command fear in the name of Jesus to loose your hold off of every person here. Be set free from fear in the name of Jesus. Break out faith, God, now. Raise up mighty ones, even as you spoke to me the other night, dread champions. Raise up mighty warriors from this house. We'll go into the highways and byways and demonstrate resurrection power that'll know you and live for you and respond to your leading, to your guiding, to your direction. Raise up an army. You've done it. Cause our ranks to be increased. Cause there to be a mighty wave that spreads across America, across the nations. Cause your bride, your church to rise, blood washed, the redeemed, spirit filled, power, known in heaven, feared in hell. Raise up an army, God. Raise up an army. Break out, God. Break out through your people. Break out through your people. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the feeble knees be strengthened. Say to the fearful, be strong. I tell you today, be strong. Be filled with courage and might. If God be for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his only son, how much more will he pour out his spirit upon you? How much more will he give you everything you need for life and godliness? How much more? Don't hang your head so low. Don't hang your head so low and be in despair and fear. Stand up, rise up, and be the answer in this hour. The church has been anemic and weak for far too long. I charge you to take your place. Take your place. Take your place on the wall. Take your place in the end time army. Shout and clap to God if you receive that today.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.